Not everyone is qualified to receive federal disaster aid during a wildfire. If you don't have a home address, there's a good chance you can't get into a shelter. JPR's April Ehrlich spoke with people at homeless camps in Redding to hear how wildfires are impacting them and their health.
There's almost always a small gathering of people on this patch of lawn outside the Redding Public Library. Large trees provide shade to people who need respite from triple-digit heat, which they usually have to endure while living on the streets. Today, they have a visitor.
Hi.
Hi, April. I'm George.
Nice to meet you.
George Felix lives in a beat-up trailer out in the forest, but he drives down to this park to visit his friends.
This is family. We don't have anywhere else to go.
Despite the trailer, George considers himself homeless. He was once a Forest Service firefighter, but heart problems forced him to retire early. So now he buys what he can with his disability checks, including food for people at this park.
These are all good people. If you've got a drug addict over here wanting to shoot up or snort crank, then boot them out of here. Like I said, we self-police ourselves. So.
And George says that's necessary because they don't have the best relationship with the actual police. He says after a deadly wildfire hit Redding last year, evacuation shelters and other agencies brought leftover food to this park.
They had extra, so they come down and would feed us. And the cops left us alone for the first few days. Where do we go? Then they pulled a 10-car raid with sirens and dogs and cops everywhere.
Redding Police Chief Bill Schuler says he's not sure if police raided the park a week after the fire, but that his team does do sweeps of public spaces when people are there past curfew.
It is entirely possible that happened. I wouldn't doubt it, and it's a violation. If they're there after the park is closed, they can be cited and or arrested. It's a misdemeanor violation.
The Good News Rescue Mission is the only overnight shelter in Redding. It's a religious nonprofit with about 250 beds in different buildings across town. Development Director Justin Wandrow says smoke had the biggest impact on people who are homeless.
Anybody who was around anywhere in California during the fires understands that the smoke was terrible and horrible. And getting inside where you've got air conditioning, some filtering, provided some relief for that. If you're outside, sleeping outside, you had no relief from that.
Many homeless people say they choose not to stay at the mission because its rules are too strict. For example, those who opt out of its Christian church service still have to remain on the property and sit nearby while that service is going. Meanwhile, going to an evacuation center during a disaster isn't an option for people who don't have a home address. In an email to JPR, a spokesman with the Federal Emergency Management Administration says it doesn't provide shelter to people who were homeless prior to a disaster. Sarah Michelson is a policy director with the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which takes issue with this policy.
FEMA says that its responsibility is really just to bring people up to where they were prior to the disaster. That often means that people experiencing homelessness are shut out from FEMA assistance.
Michelson says FEMA programs were designed with white middle-class families in mind, and as a result, it fails to address the needs of people who don't fall into that category. For instance, FEMA's transitional shelter program provides motels to people after a disaster. But sometimes there are too few participating hotels, or they're far from where people work, or disaster victims don't have a credit card for the hotel's daily fees. Michelson says these barriers to disaster assistance have long-term consequences.
When people can't access FEMA assistance, they either return back to uninhabitable homes, which put them at risk of health or safety issues, or they sleep in their cars or in tents or in shelters. They double or triple up with other low-income families, or they pay at least half of their income on rent, putting them at higher risk for evictions and homelessness.
As a result, homeless numbers spike after a disaster. The number of people living on the streets in Redding increased by 20% after the 2018 wildfire. This trend has resulted in homeless advocates calling on local governments to fill the gaps left by FEMA, to do more to help people during disasters, whether they're living in a beat-up trailer in the woods or at a park under a small bit of shade. April Ehrlich, JPR News.
This series was produced as a project for the USC Center for Health Journalism's 2019 California Fellowship.